I do feel like the Lord has a word for this church today, and I hope it's for the moms, but I really do also hope that it's for his church body as a whole, because I believe that he's ready to speak today. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. I know you've been standing a lot, but if you wouldn't mind standing just one more time while I go to the word of the Lord. John 2, 1 through 5. Oh, 1 through 11. Excuse me. I'll go quick. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was also invited to the wedding and his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. My title for you this morning is Mama Started It. Mama Started It. Would you mind praying with me one more time before we sit down? God, I ask that you would just have your way in this place. Lord, let it be your words and not my own. God, let it be what you want to do, not any specific agenda. I ask, God, that all of our hearts and minds would be open. Lord, speak to us, grow us, encourage us, and we'll be so quick to give you all of the honor and the glory and the praise, because you're a good and faithful God who's ready to do something in this place. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You may be seated. So, in this passage of scripture, the scene has been set for a wedding. And back in Bible times, weddings were not just a day. Oh no, a lot of times they lasted up to a week. And I remember how stressed out I felt planning an hour ceremony and a come and go reception. I cannot imagine the weight and responsibility of planning a week worth of festivities. We have a lot of people getting married this year at the church. We have, I think, 8 couples that are getting married this year. So we got a lot of engaged people and recently married people. I know that none of them would want to plan a week of a wedding, but that's what they had to do. So this is where Jesus, his mother, and his disciples are. They are at the wedding feast. And there's so many wonderful things that we could pull out of this story. But I'm actually going to talk about something way before this passage. And I actually can't even give the media team a scripture to put on the board, because we cannot actually see this truth written in the pages of scripture. There is a truth we cannot ignore, but we can't actually read in the pages of the Word. And I would never say that the Word of God was lacking in truth or fallible in any way, but it has left something out. Yet, I have to know that it wasn't accidental, because the first truth I want to bring before you today is not found in what's written, but what's left out. For before there was a Jesus at a wedding, there was Jesus the child, the baby, in need of constant care and constant love and devotion. There was Jesus, the child, that needed care just like every other child, for he was fully God, yes, but he was fully man. So surely there were toys to be picked up. Surely there were meals to be made, but we don't read about any of that in the Word. The only passage of scripture that talks about Jesus's childhood takes place when he stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents did not know. And the Bible says it nicely, but if you look at Luke 2:43, it says this: "After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. They were unaware of it. They lost Jesus. They lost him. They lost him. He stayed behind and they didn't know. And I was thinking about how Mary must have felt. Oh my word. I can't believe this. I just lost the wonderful counselor, mighty God, the Prince of Peace. The Spirit gave me this baby and I still lost him, you know? Or the conversation that Mary and Joseph must have had, like the walking back to Jerusalem and they're like, I thought you had him. And the other one's like, I thought he was in the wagon with you. And no, you should have told me that you didn't have him. You know, that whole cross of who had Jesus, where was he? And I can hear it now because while he was fully God, he was fully man in a home with ordinary people that were, yes, chosen and called to do a specific task, but still just living ordinary lives, daily caring for, searching for, looking after, and raising a child given to them by God. There isn't one account of a meal prepared by Mary for Jesus. There isn't one account of a bedtime story being told. There isn't one account of a knee being bandaged, but it had to be in there, but it can't be a mistaken omission. Because the word of God is perfect. And so I can't tell you exactly why we don't know more about Jesus' childhood, but I can tell you that it does confirm a principle found in Scripture, and that is there is power in unseen devotion. There is power in unseen devotion. Matthew 6:3 says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I know it couldn't have been easy. Feeling the weight of a promise and a purpose is hardly ever easy. I know it had to have been a heavy calling, raising the Messiah. I know it required effort and dedication and hard work and determination to raise the Savior. But there is power in unseen devotion. So, Mama, the world won't always know what you do. They won't always see all the times you rush through the grocery store trying to keep up with little feet. They won't see all the hard work, all the time, all of the effort, all of the times you planned, all of the times you sacrificed. They won't see all of the prayers that you prayed. But there is one that does see, and his name is Jesus. And his word promises that what you do behind closed doors will be rewarded. What an encouragement it is to know that you are seen. You are seen no matter what season of life you find yourself in, because we all go through seasons. We all go through tough times and complicated situations and difficult moments. But there is a truth that I hope will resonate in your spirit this morning. You are not sacrificing alone. You are not figuring things all out on your own. Those seeds you planted alone, God sees them and he has plans to reward you. He's got good plans for your life, and he sees what you do in secret. But please know, I'm not equating motherhood with suffering. I love being a mother, but like all holy responsibilities, motherhood, parenthood, raising a child, being there for your family, ministering in the church, there is a weight that can come that can feel difficult to carry sometimes. But know this morning, heaven is moved when you are willing to prepare in private. Heaven is moved in a special way each time you give of yourself behind closed doors. Heaven is moved in a special way each time you do what God is telling you to do, not for pats on the back or public accolades, but when you give yourself simply for the approval of God, heaven is moved. When Mary was visited by Gabriel, he spoke to her and he said, Mary, you are chosen. And she responded in Luke 1:38, I am willing to be used of the Lord. Let it happen to me as you have said. When you are willing to raise, to work, to sow, to reap, to love, to give behind closed doors, He will sustain you to do the work. He will give you the strength that you need. He will give you the wisdom that you need, the joy you need, the peace you need. When you give it to Him, when you trust Him to provide the prayer, answer the prayer, He will never leave you alone. But His word says He will. Somebody say will. Oh, say it one more time. He will. It's not a maybe, it's not a might be, it's not a hopefully, it's not a, oh, if I cross my fingers just right. No, His word says that He will reward you. So be encouraged today. You've got a good ending ahead. There is light at the end of the tunnel. And what you're doing means something in the kingdom of God. Regardless, let me remind you all of this today. Regardless of what the world says, there is power when you invest into people. It's one of the most holy investments you can make. People will let you down, sure. Your children won't always listen. Life is never going to be perfect. And I'm a young mother, but I've heard from others in different stages of life and what I've experienced now, that the journey of raising kids has a lot of great things, but it's also paved with a lot of challenges and difficulty and maybe even some heartbreak thrown in. But when you choose to invest in people, you are dedicating your life to continuing the truth of the gospel. No one in this room is in the same shoes as Mary. No one in here has been chosen to raise the Savior. But let me remind you this morning, you are chosen to invest into someone. You are chosen to love someone, whether it's a son or a daughter, a lonely coworker, the family across the aisle at church, the cashier at the grocery line, whatever it is, we are all called to invest into people. We are all called to reach for people. We're all called to raise new people in the faith that need a Bible study or just need somebody to be available. And mom, you are raising this next generation. So you might not be raising the Savior, but you are raising a representation of the Savior. And it might just be your child that brings revival to their schools. It might just be your child that brings revival to this community. It might just be your child that brings revival to your family. Your child is on a holy mission, and you are a part of it. When you choose to love somebody, you are making an eternal consequence, an eternal impact. When we choose to look beyond ourselves, something powerful happens. There is power in unseen devotion. So let's fast forward from the childhood of Jesus back to the wedding of Cana, back to John. So let's put this passage on the screen. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." I can imagine this scene because in my head, I read it like this. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." It's like when you look at your husband and you say, "The trash is full." Or when you drive up and you say, "The grass was looking a little long today." Don't amen too loud over there, Pastor. Women are very good. We have a very good skill of pointing out a problem. But hold on. Before anybody gets upset, let me tell you. This does not have to be used in a nagging sense. It does not have to be used to cause tension. It does not have to be used in an unhealthy manner. But if used wisely, supernatural occurrences can begin when somebody identifies a need. Let me say it like this. Someone else's miracle might just depend on your ability to see a need. Someone else's miracle might just depend on your ability to see a need. The ability to see sounds so common, but in today's world, in today's pace of life, the ability to see is not so common anymore. Most of humanity is walking around completely blind to the things going on around them, to the struggles going on around them. And I'm not talking about a physical sight. I'm talking about a spiritual one. We don't keep our eyes open enough to genuinely see how God could use us. And when our eyes are distracted, our hearts and our ears are as well. If we are constantly filling our eyes with something, then our minds are being flooded. And then hearing the voice of God won't feel as easy as it used to. There have been many times when I've asked myself questions like, God, why can't I hear you? God, why can't I see what you're doing? And every time I feel disconnected, I realize it's because I've gotten so distracted. I'm not stopping long enough to see what he wants me to see. I'm not quieting my mind enough so that I can hear and think the way he wants me to think. I'm not shutting down the noise long enough to hear his voice. And I know this isn't everyone, and I'm in no way trying to shame anyone, but sometimes we get so busy with entertainment, we miss the opportunity for a miracle altogether. Our society is in a very dangerous place where every free second we have, we pick up our phone. Every free second, every opportunity our mind could have to rest, we pick up our phone. We put on something to listen to. We put on the news. We listen to a podcast. When was the last time you just let your mind rest? When was the last time you made it a priority to turn off the noise? Our desire for entertainment, I'm afraid, has replaced our desire of intimacy with the Lord. And when we are close to Jesus, we are looking where he wants us to look. When we're close to him, we can hear his voice. When we're close to him, we can think the way he wants us to think. And when we're close to him, we feel more confident to bring our problems to him instead of using our problems to damage our own self-confidence. I am praying that this church would have a revival of rest in the Lord. You don't have to pick up your phone at every stoplight. You don't have to pick up your phone in every elevator. You don't have to scroll until you fall asleep at night. You don't have to use entertainment to disassociate from the chaos. He wants to commune with you. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to know your problems. But we will get in this bad routine of never really depending on the Lord because we're too afraid to face the problem and we'll turn to distraction every time. When he wants to calm you like nothing else can, he wants to give you rest like nothing else can. Rest from your swirling thoughts. Rest from your anxiety. Rest from the burdens you feel like you bear alone. Mothers, I know we are so busy. But please don't let distraction derail your ability to see the need in your children. And I'm talking to myself today. Caretakers, I know you have a lot on you, but your dedication to seeing the need and bringing it to Jesus, not holding it alone, but bringing it to Jesus will sustain you. Church member, we have to have the ability to see the needs of those around us. Here on a Sunday, across the aisle, in the foyer, in the parking lot. Oh God, open our eyes, Jesus, so that we can see what you want us to see. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. I don't want to see what my flesh tells me to see. I don't want to see what doubt tells me to see. I don't want to see what scarcity tells me to see. I don't want to see what my past tells me to see. I don't want to see what my fear tells me to see. I don't want to see what the doctors tell me to see. I don't want to see what that person said about me. I don't want to see what my regret says about me. God, I want to see what you want me to see. I want to see my children the way you see them. I want to see the miracle the way you see it. God, I want to see my city the way you see it. I want to see my coworker the way you see them. But God, you've got to open up my mind. And I've got to stop. I've got to stop the distraction long enough so that I can actually see. I've got to stop the distraction long enough. God, open our eyes this morning so that we can be more focused, spirit-led members of the body. Because this is what is so powerful. Because Mary saw the need, a miraculous event took place that wasn't just at the wedding, although it's called the miracle at Cana, but what truly happened impacted history. So let's look back at this passage, and I'm going to go quickly because I've already read it once. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" I always like to pause right there and say, okay, because if my child looked at me and said, "Woman," I'd be like, try again, okay? Try again. "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, he didn't know where it came from. So he called the bridegroom and he said to them, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you gave us the good wine now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. There are so many beautiful things we could pull out from this passage. But if you look at it again, the miracle of Cana turning water into wine was the first of his signs, or the beginning of Jesus's public ministry. He turns the water into wine by using pots used for ceremony and ritual, and then he shows the evidence of his supernatural power. Think about it like this. His earthly ministry began by pouring wine out of water pots for Jewish ceremonial cleansing. And the cross was about him pouring out his blood so that we would be cleansed once and for all. Now, instead of a wine at the wedding feast, we can have that new wine every day that will give you power and authority and peace in his name. And it wasn't his disciples that pushed him to move. It wasn't a wedding guest. It wasn't the bride or the groom. No, the one that brought the need to Jesus was Mary. Mama started it. And if you look, this passage doesn't even call Mary by her name, which I thought was very interesting. It says the mother of Jesus was there. The mother said, "We have no wine." The mother said, "Do whatever he tells you to do." It's very interesting to me that it points to her in regards to her relationship with Jesus. Then Jesus looks at her and rebukes her. And he says, "Woman, my time has not yet come." I don't know if he said it in that tone, but I don't know how else you say it when you start off a sentence with, "Woman, my time has not yet come. It's not the right for me to do this attention-drawing miracle right now." But Mary knew who had been promised to her. Mary knew who she had given birth to. Mary knew that he was the Son of the Most High, a king with a kingdom forever. So when scarcity arose, Mary knew where to go. When everybody else was looking at the bottom of the barrel, Mary knew where to go. Even after Jesus's rebuke, Mary looks at the servants and says, "Do whatever he tells you to do." She had such boldness, such faith, such assurance that she could bring a problem to Jesus and he can do something about it. And even though no one else knew, because it was the beginning of his public ministry, even though he wasn't famous, even though all Mary had was a promise given to her by an angel, her faith was bold that day, and she took upon that promise and she said, "I know what he can do." And that miracle was poured out on everyone around her. So it wasn't a disciple or a guest or a friend. It was his mother. Mother, do not downplay the impact of your bold faith on your child. You're not mothering the Messiah. I'm sure their behaviors aren't perfect. I know perfectly well the challenges of raising a strong-willed child or two. I know how difficult things can be, but have bold faith in the calling of your children. Have bold faith in what God has told you about your children. Don't let it go. Don't downplay it or let it wash aside. Cling to it every day. And in the challenging moments, in those unseen moments, you can have faith to believe that God is going to be true to his word, and those things he's promised you about your children will come to pass. I just feel it in this place right now. Does anybody have a testimony of seeing those promises in your children? It could very well be your bold faith in them that pushes them to act someday. And I have good news for everybody else in the room. Mama might have started it, but now we get to continue it. Last week, Sister Brendel, a friend of mine, she came down to the front and asked for prayer. We prayed for her. She had a migraine before service, and by the end of Miracle Opportunities, it was completely gone. I'm telling you that the miraculous is still at work today, and we get to be a part of miracle after miracle after miracle. If God's ever touched you in a miracle opportunity moment, if he's ever healed you during a prayer meeting, could you just wave your hand? If God's ever come through for you, could you just wave your hand? If you are seeing scarcity in your life, in your health, in your finances, in your marriage, in your job, in your relationship with God, if you feel like you're looking at the metaphorical bottom of the barrel, I've got good news for you. We serve a Savior that is not intimidated by your emptiness. We serve a Savior that is not intimidated by the lack that you have. We serve a Savior that is not intimidated by your regrets, by your shames, or defeat. We serve a Savior that isn't looking for perfection. You know, the only thing he's looking for? A vessel. The only thing he's looking for is a vessel, not perfection, not having it all together. He is just looking for a vessel so that he can fill you up with something better and pour out of your life onto your family, onto the city, onto your coworkers, a miracle from you. All he needs is a vessel. You don't have to be perfect this morning. You just have to be willing. You just have to be willing to let him fill you again. You just have to be willing to come to him. Would you stand with me this morning? There is power when you are willing to prepare in private. When you are willing to live out the unseen. When you are willing to keep praying, keep believing, keep working, keep doing what God has called you to do, even when it's not displayed for everybody to see. There is one that always sees. And let me tell you this morning, loneliness is such a cruel trick of the enemy. He will try to tell you that you are all alone, that you're in it all alone, and that nobody sees what you're going through. Let me remind you this morning that there is one that always sees, and he is always going to be there for you, and he will reward you when the time is right. So keep preparing, keep devoting, keep loving, keep working behind closed doors, for we serve a Savior that sees. And I also encourage you today, oh God, let my eyes be open. Let us as a church have our eyes and our ears and our heart open enough, focused enough, so that we could see the need of people around us. Oh God, with how distracted I can be, forgive me. Oh God, I want to see people. Jesus, please help me not to miss the opportunity to help somebody because I'm just too busy to see. Oh Jesus, please give me sensitivity in your spirit, Lord, that when I go about my day, I don't neglect the opportunity for a miracle, Jesus. Let me see, Jesus. And God, let me come before you with bold faith. That faith that says, just do what he tells you to do. Even when I don't know. Even when you don't know, even when we don't have a good plan, there's one that does know. And if we'll just do what he tells us to do, oh God, give us the boldness to just do it, God, and believe that you are capable of what I cannot see and plan. Nobody knew that wine was going to come out of water, but there was one that did know. There is no telling what the Lord will do with your life if you'll just be a vessel. So in just a moment, we're going to have our ministry team come. You can go ahead and come, ministry team. And this is an opportunity. If you want to pray with somebody, if you want to bind together and believe with somebody, they're here to pray with you. Whether you need something in your family, your life, your body, they're here to pray with you. But for the rest of the church, in just a minute, we're going to open up these altars for prayer, just for a time of rededicating our life, that we would be okay, that we would be satisfied in doing the unseen and knowing that he sees, that we would see what he wants us to see, and that we would have bold faith. So why don't we just take a second and pray right now in the name of Jesus. I ask God that you would open up our eyes to see. I ask Jesus that in this room you would uplift and encourage and strengthen. Oh God, you see each and every person exactly where they are in their family. Oh Lord, I ask God that you would bring some healing to the room today, God. People that have been feeling lonely, people that have felt like you haven't seen, God, I ask, Lord, that you would remind them once again that you do see. Oh God, let there be a revival of bold faith in this place, that we would come to you because we know who you are and we know what you can do. In the name of Jesus, oh church, would you just pray with me? Why don't we just open up our mouths, open up our hearts. If you want to come down to this front, these altars are open. In the name of Jesus, I ask God that you would move in this place. In the name of Jesus, I ask God that you would move in this place, Lord God. Oh Lord, uplift and strengthen today, God. Let us walk out of here with a new perspective, a new mind, God. Oh, we believe, Lord, that you're not afraid of our scarcity, God, but that you can do a lot with nothing. If I'll just bring myself to you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, church, why don't you come? Why don't we pray together on this Mother's Day? We worship you, Jesus.
To see things like you do, God, I